Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it still speaks to us today, your living word. And Lord, I pray that as I speak now, that you would take my words and that you would use them for you. I pray that you would just open our hearts and our minds, help us to hear what it is that you're saying to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as you probably know, we are working our way through the big story of the Old Testament. And last week, Bruce spoke about Abraham and his son Isaac. And this week, we've fast-forwarded a couple of generations. We've gone past Isaac and his wife Rebecca, their twin sons, Esau and Jacob, to Joseph, who was one of Jacob's many sons. And I really love this story. It's quite a long one. We're just focusing on the first half this week. So I'm going to try not to give too much away. But it's a story with ups and downs, a story of a dysfunctional family and the result that that was, a story of power play. It involves lives, human trafficking, slavery, sexual temptation, allegations of rape, injustice, wrongful imprisonment. Do you know, it would fit quite well with a number of current TV series that we're perhaps used to today. But it's also a story, a wonderful story of faithfulness, perseverance, integrity, surviving in the darkest of times, and of tennis. So I don't know if you know that Joseph is one of the first recorded tennis players in the Bible. A bit unusual, I know. We actually come across this next week, so apologies to Joy, she's not here. There we go. But in Genesis 41, it tells us that Joseph served in the courts of Pharaoh. Clearly a reference to tennis. Or maybe not. But the story of Joseph is really brilliant. And Joseph himself? Well, we'll look at him a bit more closely in a minute. But I wonder how many of us have had really high hopes of something, only for them to be dashed, or perhaps for the thing that we hoped for not to happen. Or maybe things have worked out in a really different way from what we had thought or hoped or imagined. I wonder how many of us have had to contend with unexpected difficulties, with illness, with tragedy. And as Peter reminded us in his prayers, we're living in interesting times at the moment, with conflict fairly close to home in Eastern Europe, a worrying situation in the Far East. We've got fuel prices soaring, and actually the outlook for the autumn and the winter is pretty bleak. It looks like a lot of families, a lot of people are going to really struggle. We see that we've got inflation, we've got stagnated wages, we've got quite a lot of unrest, threats of strikes, and our government is undergoing a leadership contest. Some of that affects us locally as well, doesn't it? And we've all probably got our own situations that are going on in our own lives. And we know that actually the life of our church, nationally and locally, the future is far from certain. Life can often be disappointing and difficult, and we might wonder what's going on and where God is in it all. And you know, I wonder if that was the same for Joseph. He had to face a number of unexpected, really difficult, traumatic situations. And so looking at his story, I think that might offer us some help and some hope. Because Joseph started out in many ways in quite a good place. You know, there was a bit of sibling rivalry. I mean, that's normal for families, right? But he was, despite being one of the youngest sons, he was the favourite child of Jacob and his favourite wife, Rachel. Jacob loved Joseph more than his 10 older brothers and was openly demonstrative of that fact,
Remember that famous coat of many colours? Thank you, Andrew Lloyd Webber. And we're told that Joseph was also well-built and handsome. Gosh, you know, for that to be remarked on, he must have been pretty buff, as our kids might say. Apologies. And also, Joseph was known for his dreams. Now, dreams were known in the Bible amongst God's people as to be a way in which God communicated with people. So, did you know that there are 21 instances in the Bible where God speaks to people in dreams? And 10 of those, interestingly enough, come in Genesis. So Jacob, Joseph's father, had dreams from God where God spoke to him. And God also spoke to Joseph as a young man. And these dreams were pretty astounding, weren't they? They suggested that Joseph's family were going to bow down to him, that he was going to be lifted up above them. And so what was that like for a young teenager? His father's favourite knew that God's hand was on him. You can imagine that maybe it led him to be a little bit cocky or arrogant, thinking that he was perhaps better than his brothers. And we know that he went and told tales about his brothers to their father. So no wonder the brothers were jealous, so jealous in fact that they could barely speak civilly to him. And, you know, it wasn't a great family, was it, in some ways? Jacob perhaps didn't do a very good job as a father. He should have known better, perhaps. But actually, we see that God could still work and use them. Probably some encouragement for us as well. So we see, anyway, Joseph starting out pretty well, and then something happens. This crazy hour where Joseph's brothers seize on an opportunity. They get him away from Jacob's protection, and they think about killing him, and eventually they decide they're better served by selling him as a slave. So from favoured son, Joseph, we're told, becomes a slave, a servant. And we see echoes of that, don't we, in Jesus later on in the Bible. Joseph is sold for 20 pieces of silver, which was the standard price for a male slave of Joseph's age at the time. And for Joseph, it must have felt like his life was falling apart. His brothers, his own family, have turned against him and have sold him. He's taken away from his family. He's made to walk. It was probably a journey of 9 or 10 days on foot to a foreign land where he's in a slave market and he's sold to this unknown Egyptian master. And later, despite behaving with integrity, he's accused of sexual assault and is unjustly thrown into prison and forgotten about. You know, it's awful, isn't it? When we stop and think about it, that's awful. How would we have coped in those circumstances? How do we cope in our difficult circumstances? You know, it would have been really easy for Joseph to adopt that victim mentality, that poor me, or to become bitter or angry, blaming others for his situation. But you know, he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. Instead, he works hard. He's seen to be a person who is capable and trustworthy and hardworking. And we're told that everything he did succeeded. God was with him. So what was it about Joseph and about God that enabled Joseph not only to survive, but to thrive in spite of the circumstances? Well, I think that Joseph trusted that God was in control. He put his faith in God, and in return, maybe even before that, God was faithful. So we know, don't we, that the Bible says that God is in control, that he's working things out according to his purpose. And actually, we've got the benefit of hindsight, because we can look back at this story and go, oh yeah, actually God was in control. We can see God's hand in it. If we look back to Abraham a number of years before Joseph was born, God said to Abraham, your descendants are going to end up in Egypt. They're going to be slaves. Sorry, that's a bit of a spoiler for next week or the weeks to come. God knew what was going to happen. He was in control. And we see in Joseph's story that that God gave Joseph these dreams before any of this awfulness happened. And perhaps it was a way of him saying to Joseph, I'm in control here. I've given you this promise, this hope for a future, that even when these things happen, you can trust me. I'm in control. And we see God's hand in this story. So I don't know if you know the geography particularly of Israel at the time. The Joseph and his family, they lived in Hebron. The brothers, we're told, had taken the flocks to Shechem to feed and water them. And Joseph was sent to go and find them, see how they're doing, maybe report back to their father about how they're behaving. But actually the brothers have moved on. They've moved on from Shechem to Dothan. It's a little bit further away from where they lived. And this is important in the story because Dothan was on the trade route to Egypt. If they'd still been in Shechem, who knows what would have happened? But actually God had maneuvered them to go and look for better pastures. And so when they got Joseph in their grasp, the brothers, they saw the camel traders coming and they made their decision. God was in control of Joseph. And so I wonder, do we know that? You know, we look at what's happening globally. Do we know that God is in control? And do we respond like Joseph to trust him? And you know, it wasn't just that God was in control. For Joseph, God was close to him. Our readings tell us, don't they, that God was with Joseph. He wasn't somewhere above, you know, directing things from his kind of far off position, but actually he was with Joseph. And you know, often the Bible stories that we read, they're really condensed down, aren't they? You know, they say things like, God was with Joseph, Joseph succeeded. But actually within that, you know, if we wrote that as a novel, my gosh, we could write chapters on it almost, couldn't we? What God was doing, what God was saying, what was going on in Joseph's life. And so, you know, what does it mean? God was with Joseph. Well, I think it means that actually, Joseph knew that God was close to him. He experienced perhaps God's presence. God helped him. He was nudging him, perhaps helping him to do his job well. You know, a little bit of insight. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? That would be really helpful. Go and talk to that person. Maybe it was giving him wisdom, discernment, the ability to pick things up quickly. For Joseph, God wasn't a distant figure. And the reading said that God showed kindness to Joseph. We're going to come back to that in a minute. But I wonder what our experience is. Do we know that God is with us? Joseph's response also, he had a choice, didn't he, in all of this. We'll come back to that again. But Joseph chose to draw close to God as well and live his life with him. I wonder if we do that. It's a daily choice, I think. So quickly, what does it mean that God was kind? You know, perhaps in some ways we think, God kind? Have you seen what Joseph went through? You know, he was sold as a slave. He was imprisoned. Is that kind? Maybe we think, you know, well, is God kind to us? If God was kind, he wouldn't have let that person get ill and die. He wouldn't have let us struggle financially. If God was kind, then maybe I'd get on with my family. They wouldn't be so difficult. Or my neighbours, they'd be more straightforward. They wouldn't hold parties late at night. If God was kind, maybe we'd have job security. And you know, I think that God is kind because, for a start, he doesn't treat us as we deserve in terms of our sinfulness. But actually, I think he is tender with us. He's with us. He wants to help us. He's for us. But also, being kind isn't just being nice, is it? Because I think that God cares about us. He cares about our character. And in fact, he cares more about our character than about our comfort. He cares more about our character than about our comfort. You know, if God had cared about Joseph's comfort, then Joseph would never have become the man that God made him to be. It was through the hardships, with God's kindness and help and loving care, that Joseph was transformed from a rather cocky, spoiled, self-centered young man into a man of real integrity, humility, wisdom, who was able to respond positively in the face of hardship and who looked to God for help. His response was to choose to trust God and to work with God. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? Because quite a lot of our society says there's a push for comfort. You know, we're based on a consumer model, I guess, our society is. And it says, you know, let's get more. Let's go on great holidays because it'll be really good for you and we'll be really comfortable with our lovely houses and our stuff. But actually, God cares more about what we are like as people than about how comfortable we are. And actually, the truth is that despite our strive to gain stuff and to gain comfort, life is still hard. Many of us, all of us, will have to endure hardships in one way or another. And being a Christian doesn't mean that God will take those hardships away or that he'll stop stuff from happening. And also, I just want to say that I don't think that God, he doesn't orchestrate those awful things to happen. Okay, it's not that him making those things happen, but actually what he does is he works through them for our good and for his purposes and for our eternal good. That's what God cares about, because he's got a purpose in mind for each one of us. And he wants each one of us to be all that he's made us to be. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, it's often in the hard times that our character grows or changes or is shaped. Our family have a lovely friend who has been through some really, really difficult things in her life. One of her daughters has been through, been really poorly on and off, and they've had real concerns for her over years. And they've struggled real financial difficulty, real financial difficulty. And yet she has worked through that. She has, and her faithfulness to God throughout that actually really shines out. And God has shaped her through those difficulties. And now she's currently the CEO of a big charity that helps people with debt. And it's beautiful looking back to see the way God has worked in her life to shape her for this role now, to be able to undertake this job and to help others, many people who have struggled to relieve them from debt. And yet it was partly her as well. She had a role to play. If she'd said, "No, God, I don't want any of it," it would have been a really different story. So where are we? Because we need to cooperate with God and to work with him. There's that partnership there, which is really lovely. And we see that with Joseph. Joseph chose to follow God. He was God's man through and through. And he, you know, it's really interesting when Potiphar's wife came and said, "Come to bed with me, darling," that actually he was there saying, "If I do this, I sin against God." Yes, obviously he sinned against Potiphar as well. But his concern was that he would sin against God. He wasn't going to do that. And we see that stark comparison with the brothers, don't we? Choosing their comfort. You know, let's get rid of Joseph. And let's get some money for him as well. Comfort over character. So where are we? Do we know that God is in control? Do we choose to trust him? Do we know that God is close? Do we experience that closeness in our lives? Do we know that he's kind? And that part of that kindness is that he wants us to be people of character. And that's more important to him than our comfort. Is our character more important than our comfort? Or our comfort more important than our character? Things to think about, really. Life is not straightforward. But actually, when we trust God and when we partner with him, we live our lives with him. We listen to him and we follow him. It's not easy. Things might not always be what we want them to be. They might not work out the way we want them to work out. But actually, like Joseph, we will know that God's hand is on us and that we can trust that God will help us. He'll shape us to be the people that he has made us to be.